This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Dental Health Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Ben Wilcox, practice principal at Dental Practice Shore Dental in Sydney, Australia. Originally from the UK, Dr. Wilcox has trained in both the UK and Australia and is an experienced general and cosmetic dentist. With years of experience and ongoing professional development, Dr. Wilcox specializes in dental implant surgery. Dr. Wilcox, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Good morning.
And good morning to you. So tell us, for starters, what are dental implants made from?
Well, dental implants are made from titanium. Specifically, it's grade 4, commercially pure, unalloyed titanium. There are various different implant companies around the world, which they have different surface treatments available to increase the surface area on the implant. This increase in surface area, it increases the speed of osseointegration, which in layman's terms is when the bone connects to the implant, or in dental terms, it's defined as a direct structural and functional connection between ordered living bone and the surface of the load-carrying implant.
How long have dental implants been around for?
Well, the concept of this osseointegration, as I was talking about, was discovered by a Swedish orthopedic surgeon, kind of the godfather of dental implants, so to speak, called P.I. Brannebach. And he discovered this by accident. He was doing some research involving rabbit femurs. And when he was attempting to remove the titanium cylinders that he'd placed in the bone, he'd found that there was a direct connection between the rabbit bone and the implant. So this led to him placing his first dental implant in a human volunteer back in 1965. So, you know, 60 years on, he kind of paved the way for implant future research, which has led to there being currently hundreds of implant companies, with arguably six major providers worldwide that have long-term data on the success of their product.
And how long would you say that dental implants last for?
It's a pretty difficult question to answer because a lot of the major dental implant companies, they're trying to strive to publish data on having the best survival rates. So statistical data can be distorted depending on the criteria these companies are using to define the success or the survival of the implant. For example, an implant could be partially present and integrated into some bone, but if it's not in a functional or cosmetic position or of benefit, it can be debated if it's can be categorized as a successful outcome. But to cut a long story short, if an implant is placed correctly in adequate volume of bone and maintained with a satisfactory level of oral hygiene, a dental implant could potentially last any patient a lifetime.
Wow, that's absolutely tremendous. Today we are speaking with Dr. Ben Wilcox, practice principal at Dental Practice Shore Dental in Sydney, Australia, specializing in dental implant surgery, here on eHealth Radio's Dental Health Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Wilcox, does age have an effect on suitability of a patient to have dental implants placed?
Definitely age should be is a consideration when it comes to implant treatment planning. Implants they should be avoided in patients who are still growing. You know, essentially the people around the puberty age, and it's because if you continue to grow, your bones and body is going to continue to grow around an implant that's been placed. This will lead to the implant being in a compromised position that can lead to a pretty catastrophic cosmetic and functional failure. In dental terms, this is known as infra-occlusion. On the other end of the scale, there's no upper age restriction on placing a dental implant. You could place an implant into, you know, a 95-year-old if they felt that they would have benefit from it. Generally, potential treatment is generally dependent on the volume of bone that's available. So the longer the tooth's been missing for, or the older the patient, generally the less bone there is available to actually place the implant into. So if you look at it from that point of view, placing implants in the the older end of the spectrum of the population can be more challenging. Therefore, in the older population, you might need some sort of augmentation or grafting procedure done before the implant's placed to increase the bone volume to make it potentially possible to place an implant in an older person.
And how would one find out if dental implants are suitable within their mouth?
You want to have an oral health assessment done with an appropriately qualified dental surgeon. And three basic things that it should involve would be having some impressions for some study models to be made or a direct replica of your mouth. You then have a periodontal assessment, which is when your gum health is analyzed and measured. And then thirdly, the kind of standard of care globally these days recognizes that having a 3D x-ray called a cone beam CT or cone beam computerized tomography should be undertaken. You can either have this done in your dental office, or if they don't have one, there's various different centers you could have the scan done. What this does is it's a 3D image that helps to evaluate the position and the volume of the bone that is available before placing the implant. And this aids us with orientation with respect to some important anatomical structures, for instance, nerves or a sinus. And then from this, then you can plan exactly where you'd like the implant to be from a functional and cosmetic perspective, which these days is known as a concept of being prosthetically driven.
Certainly very insightful and helpful information. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or a final tip for the listeners tuning in along the lines of our conversation today?
Yeah, do your research. Don't be rushed into treatment. And, make the correct choice for your health so you get a good long-term outcome.
And tell us where our folks can get more information about your practice and your work and how they could be in potential contact with you as well.
Yeah, there's plenty of information on the surgery website, which would be www.shoredental.com.au. And from there, you can look at various different cases that have been completed and have some answer some of those frequently asked questions that sometimes you forget to ask when you're in the dental chair.
Once again, we thank you for your time today, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Dr. Ben Wilcox, practice principal at Dental Practice Shore Dental in Sydney, Australia, specializing in dental implant surgery. And for more information, visit shoredental.com.au. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Dental Health Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.